For as long as we've had a platinum or a PGM industry in South Africa, we've heard about the importance of marketing for the metal because, let's face it, there's this issue of recycling and the need to stimulate top-line demand in other areas. But the fact is the industry is in a state of crisis. As it was revealed today, current prices and costs more than 60% of South Africa's PGM mining industry is loss-making. Now, the Minerals Council, led by CEO Roger Baxter and Anglo-American Platinum CEO Chris Griffith, today hosted a media briefing on the National Platinum Strategy for South Africa here at Mining Indaba, and it's a pleasure to have both chaps in my pop-up studio. Chris, just set the scene for us here. We know the industry is vitally important and its contribution to our economic prospects going forward are equally important, but just how much has the PGM industry contributed to South Africa since the 1980s?
Roger, you're probably better placed with the facts and the figures about the platinum industry. Michael, I'm going to defer that quickly.
Sure, Roger. You
chat to us about that.
So,
Roger.
Michael, so just to say, if you look at the last 35 years, I mean, we've produced over R1 trillion worth of platinum, effectively, if you valued it at today's terms. The sector today employs about just under 170,000 people. It pays over R40 billion in wages, earns R90 billion in foreign currency for the country, is a key taxpayer, key purchaser of goods and services, and over the last decade has been in a crisis period. I mean, obviously, we've had a challenging period, but as much as we've seen some recent improvements, the key issue here is about if we want to realize the broader endowment that South Africa has on the platinum side. It's a partnership between government, the industry, and all stakeholders on how we really grow demand for platinum at the global level and local levels. And so this particular platinum strategy is a draft strategy. We've engaged government on it already. It's about how we work collaboratively as South Africa to realize this incredible transformational and economic potential that platinum has.
And in the strategy, you've sketched some rough scenarios of potential futures. If we do nothing, if we actually collaborate, what are some of those scenarios?
So let me give those to you. I mean, we're looking 35 years ahead, and we said, you know, when we did the scenarios, but if we're looking out to 2050, instead of being a roughly $10 billion industry, which is kind of like a status quo look at the world, if we got it right, working collaboratively together to grow the global markets on both investment, both on catalytic converters, hydrogen economy, and on the jewelry sides, and obviously on the industrial sides, we could have an industry that is $35 to $40 billion, which is 3 to 4 times bigger than where we are currently. Now, that's an incredible economic opportunity that exists, but it requires a comprehensive strategy about how we create that global demand for a metal which, just to highlight, is an incredibly rare metal. I mean, platinum is 20 to 30 times rarer than gold. And, you know, if you just reflect on how much gold has been mined in the history of humankind, it's about 3 Olympic-sized swimming pools. If you look at how much platinum has been mined, it's ankle-deep in 1 Olympic swimming pool. And so we've got an incredible metal, we've got an incredible opportunity, and it's important that in collaboration we create the avenues and opportunities to grow platinum demand. That's the key issue going forward.
Chris, from your perspective, you've often spoken about the need for the industry to take the lead in stimulating that demand through the Platinum Council as well. What are you proposing that industry does through this strategy to play its role as we look to get government on board and labor on board to support this?
So one of the things that may seem strange to your listeners is how can a producer of metal influence demand? So, for example, if you're a coal miner, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, the world's going to use the amount of coal that they need. But if you look at the diamond example, you know, the diamond guys have been very, very smart about marketing, about how we need to buy shiny little rocks and pay an incredible amount of money for those. And that's what clever marketing does in certain commodities. Now, platinum actually has many of those commodities that are similar to diamonds. You can create demand by very smart marketing. And our Platinum Guild International that the industry has for many years contributed to has grown demand for platinum jewelry, in particular in China, but across the rest of the world, that previously didn't exist. What we're saying is we can use exactly that kind of philosophy, that mentality around investing in smart marketing to create additional demand, and actually the investment in that growth is fairly modest. And I'll give you another quick example. In India, just a couple of years ago, there was zero white metal sold in India. You just think it's a very, very yellow metal dominated market. And by very smart marketing, we've been able to increase over the last 5 years an annual growth rate of almost 20% by very clever marketing, target young people, saying this is different to you. It's not around the investment in wealth. This is around the investment in love. And, you know, so that the different brands that these different metals have got, by very smart marketing, you can do that. Now, that's massively important for our business. So, for example, if we were to increase just jewelry demand, it's a third of all of platinum demand worldwide. India's been growing at 15 to 20% over the last couple of years. China's been declining a bit. So clearly in our world, in the biggest market, we can influence the amount of metal. We think that for as little as $40 million, we can increase the amount of metal sold by 750,000. That's two or three big mines for $40 million a year for the next couple of years, in addition to what we're spending now. So it's this kind of mindset that we think that we can use and collectively collaborate to invest in greater demand for our metals. Investment is another example. So we've spoken about jewelry investment. When you think about where I should put my retirement funds, you're thinking about the banks, and you're thinking about equities, most folk. Every now and again, someone will think about maybe I'll put it in a bit of gold or some metal. Almost nobody will be thinking about putting it into platinum. Yet, in some parts of the world, we've got platinum accumulation funds, we've got bars and coins
ETFs,
So that forms part of some people, the way they think about investment. Now, if we created that mindset right across the world, where everyone's thinking about a portion of their investment funds going to investing in platinum in some ways. So that kind of mindset that we're trying to encourage people to think about, because you can make a real difference in increasing demand. You increase demand, we increase the amount of mines that we produce here in South Africa, we increase all these things that Roger was saying. We could have 3 to 4 times the size of our industry by clever marketing if you put your money in the right places.
Now, industry is investing in that marketing. What role for government here, Roger?
So I think the key issue is that government could co-invest. Government's got a key role not only in helping to unlock the mechanisms of collaboration around platinum coins and the fact that South Africa doesn't have a good delivery, legal tender, VAT-free platinum coin is a sad indictment on all of us. But government can play its role there. But government can play a role in helping to co-invest. And it's not, as Chris said earlier this morning, it's not a subsidy or anything like that. This is a co-investment to get a long-term return in jobs and growth and taxes in the future. It's a bit like the incentives that are given for industrialization of industrial projects. This is smart co-investment by the industry and government. If we did it collectively, we'd have a much bigger impact. That bigger impact is very good for the country. And again, the point that we'll make is that we could create as much extra value in this economy by 2050 as the gold mining sector did in the last half century in South Africa. If we do it together, cleverly, industry, government working together.
It's a compelling case at this time, at this juncture, where we have a mines minister who is really steeped in the industry and really grew up in the industry, a president as well, who has demonstrated his support for the industry by being the first sitting president to address a mining indaba in 25 years. Are you finding that now is the time to have this sort of collaborative conversation? And how is that conversation happening with government at the moment, Chris?
So we think it's a fantastic opportunity to have the leadership in the country that's thinking about investment in this way, knowing that investment creates growth and it's growth that creates jobs. And I think we've got both the mines minister, we certainly have the president that's thinking like this, and many of his ministers are thinking like this. So although this is not a new engagement with government, we think actually the ground is really fertile now for us to drive this kind of strategy, where this won't be seen as a bailout of mining companies, because that's not what it is. This is around, as Roger said, this is an investment into future growth. And actually, if you look at the kind of areas where we're investing in growth, this is really, really cheap investment to grow the platinum business.
And there are other conversations that I know you have to get off, but around the combination between hydrogen fuel cell and electric vehicles, some of those hybrids that are going to start driving demand for the PGM baskets globally. So there are industrial policy choices that we can make here as well that could support the industry. But with that, chaps, unfortunately, we have run out of time. It'll be very interesting to see how those talks progress. And clearly, the market now looking at that State of the Nation address to see further guidance around how the president plans to help support mining. The sense that I've certainly got is that he is 100% behind the industry. And let's hope that that does follow through with something tangible and some execution in terms of policy support on the ground. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks, Mike.